To introduce myself to begin with, my name is Girish Prabhat. I am the Chief Commercial Officer at General Electric GE, Vernova. And today I'm going to give you an insight into the role of technologies in fostering confidence and assuring growth market. And I think what the space that I'm coming from is the energy sector and the energy supply chain. So this is for most of you in the discussions that I've had in the last couple of hours and also the earlier session, is your scope two. So I'll share with you the perspective of how the energy market is growing and evolving over the next couple of years, both in the short, medium, and long term, the technologies that we see in play, and how we foresee the role of technologies, companies like GE, partnering with other technology providers in order to enable net zero for all of our customers. So, first, a short introduction about GE Vernova. So, GE, I think a lot of people would know GE as a brand and as a company. Just last year, GE announced that it is split three different separate entities: GE Aerospace, GE Healthcare, and GE Vernova, which is the power arm of GE, and this will be an independently listed company. We announced that we will be listing in April this year in the US. So GE Vernova combines all of GE's capabilities from an energy supply chain perspective, gas power, steam power, wind, renewables, the grid, storage solutions, finance, as well as the digital solution. So how we view GE Vernova is, given the large breadth and scale of the expertise across all of these 12 business units within GE, we see ourselves playing a key role in enabling the energy transition and supporting our customers transform to address their climate change targets. In terms of the reach of GE and the presence globally, 30% of all electricity generated in the world is GE's technology, being our gas turbines, our steam turbines, our generators, as well as also our wind technology. We have over 7,000 gas turbines installed, and it is the world's largest fleet. 54,000 wind turbines installed over 50 countries, and the number one onshore wind in the US. And we are also very active in the nuclear industry, which is one of the key elements of decarbonization. And we have just signed the first small modular reactor commercial contract in North America, which is an evolving space, one that we are very excited about. And in terms of how we want to drive the transition, as I mentioned earlier, every part of Vernova will contribute towards carbon reduction. This slide gives you an overview of each of the varying businesses and how they individually will look to contribute. So when we look at our customer base, mainly the energy utilities, and a lot of them are in renewable projects. They started off with either having normal standard fossil assets, being coal and gas, and now they're transitioning into a mixed fleet and changing the way that they would operate. So how GE Vernova works and supports our customers is by pulling in all of the expertise from all of these various business units to provide a consolidated and cohesive solution for them to transition towards net zero by leveraging all of these technologies. So in Asia, we see a potential for faster decarbonization and pathways. We see, first of all, renewable growth enabled by conventional power, in the sense that a lot of the existing power, mainly coal in Asia, are either being retired at the end of their life, or being retired early, or being repurposed to minimize the long-term impact and to really ensure that there is a faster path to decarbonization. Hydrogen and nuclear are being seen as key enablers. I think even here in Singapore, it was recently announced that nuclear is not off the table. It is an option. And we see the Indonesian market as well exploring nuclear, which is a very exciting prospect. Reuse existing power, coal power components. So in terms of how we enable, how renewables can are being leveraged and how customers who have coal assets, they are really looking to reuse existing components to enable the renewable energy together with their gas turbine flexibility. And I think finally, overall, the short term and the quick wins that we are looking at, we see our customers moving forward is by leveraging the potential to trade the existing technology to reduce the emissions and yet continue their current operations. So I think that would be more on the power asset side. But there's also the grid reliability challenge that we have. So if for those of you who are familiar with the transmission grid, this is a technology that was built 100 years or more and not built to absorb and engage with multiple power elements. So with the rise of renewables, there's a lot of intermittency and a need for peaking power. So in order to improve the reliability of grid and to ensure that the lights don't go off, we see gas as a key enabler and to balance the grid, especially in the event where the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine. That feeds into how we see flexibility and modular power enable industrial off-grid sectors, and of course, I think large high-efficiency plants that provide the capability to dispatch, especially when the power is needed. And I think finally, an area that I think impacts all of us in this room is the ecosystem and the policies that are impacting us from a day-to-day basis. I think in the earlier panel discussion, one of the members mentioned that in the EU, there's the policy that if any of their shipments do not comply with a zero deforestation requirement, they are liable to be taxed up to 4% of their top line. So that is a really large impact. And we also see similar similar policies and similar standards being implemented globally, which across the energy sector, in relation to emissions targets and emissions requirements. So these ecosystem and policies require us to engage and a lot of support across all of the sectors as well as in R&D. So in terms of our presence in Asia, and the decarbonization projects, this is really a snapshot of what we are, where we are involved in. You can see we have developments all the way from China all the way down to Australia. And it really varies depending on the policies and the needs in that market. So if you look at what we're doing in China, they are really looking at enabling more gas in their market. And they have looking at a heavy-duty gas turbine, HA9HA, which is one of the largest in the fleet in the market these days. And at the same time, it's not really focused purely on gas combustion, but also starting to take steps towards hydrogen co-combustion. And there's a whole different session that we can have a discussion on the impact of hydrogen on a power asset. But in short, all of our customers are taking small steps with 10%, 20% blend, and then assessing the impact and the benefits from on their plant. And on the other end of the spectrum, in Japan, renewable energy and power investment is core, and we are engaging in onshore and also offshore projects in that market. I think one of the more exciting pieces that we are looking at is, if you look at the top right, our MOU with IHI in Japan, is really the development of ammonia fuels as a roadmap towards decarbonization across Asia. So there's a lot of developments going on and a lot of progress in more countries. So this is really a very interesting and exciting time to be part of the energy industry. So I'll talk you through a couple of today's challenges how decarbonization, we see decarbonization, net zero. So different countries in the world have embarked on decarbonization roadmaps and initiatives at different periods of time. So I started my career in the energy industry in Europe more than 10 years ago. And they were already very aggressive on building renewables and they were evolving the policies on how to enable renewables metering in those markets. And then if we move towards where we are right now in Asia, even within Asia, we see a disparity in terms of maturity and where they are in their decarbonization journey, with some countries being more mature and focusing more on renewables, and some really the more developing countries focusing fundamentally on keeping the lights on. So we've categorized them into three buckets. The countries that are really focusing on affordable, dependable power to keep the lights on. So this, in these countries, it is very easy for them to leverage the current policy of let's look for the cheapest technology, let's invest in coal. But there's also the opportunity here for them to say, okay, we have a blank slate. How can we electrify our country by starting off from a with the green perspective? So that's where we work with the governments and with the partners there to enable them to make the right decision that would meet their requirements of electrifying the nation. I think the second bucket is where they partner with renewables to meet the demand growth. So rather than invest in new projects, new thermal coal projects, we partner with them to invest more in renewables, being wind, solar. But then again, the ability of wind and solar to consistently meet the demand and the growth is challenging to forecast given the nature of weather. So generally when we see clients doing this, is they also explore in a hybrid solution whereby they focus on building also gas together with wind as a low carbon alternative. And I think finally, flexible or dependable backup to renewables. So these are the more mature markets where they have a high capacity of generation capabilities. So this is where they build more smaller aeroderivative or battery type solutions that would really focus more on the peaking capabilities. So this is where we see all the markets, and these are some of the markets that we see and where they are. So what we forecast and we see is generally demand for electricity will continue to increase globally until 2030 to 30,000 terawatt hours. But within that demand, we see most of the demand coming from non-OECD consumption. And with OECD countries, we see that demand to be fairly flat growth and nothing that is too exponential. But the question that you ask is, okay, I mean, does that mean that the OECD countries are not developing and not moving forward? I mean, the answer is no. I think the factor that we see is there is a trend of moving towards more energy efficient consumption as opposed to a reduction in consumption. A reduction in demand, rather. So that's and in the OECD countries, we see the factors that tend to increase consumption is more electrification, more people getting connected, GDP growth and expanding middle class, as we've seen in a lot of countries in Asia. And I think one of the key things is also data centers, computing power And we've seen a trend in the last couple of years that data centers are being built together with a captive power asset next to it, given the real high demand there. So that brings us to the challenge that our customers are and countries are facing, is the famous energy trilemma. So the energy trilemma is really, how do we balance affordability, reliability, and sustainability for the customers? I think the GE Vernova position is electrification is a fundamental human right, and we want to enable that by providing affordable, reliable, and sustainable energy to our. And I think as we move forward, decarbonization is going to be key to accelerate that. So when we look at the challenges and opportunities in decarbonization, I've classified here in sort of six buckets. I think first thing first is the clean energy investment super cycle. I mean, the investment policies, rather, and taxonomies, and qualification requirements for transitional finance, all of these are consistently being evolving, and it's a consistent moving target. I mean, for example, the TCFD, which was a standard last year and benchmark for a lot of companies in their sustainability reporting, has now been is transitioning to IFRS standards. So companies that had committed to TCFD will now need to review their positions and how they report all of their and report and comply and explain their strategies in their sustainability journey. So that's an evolving target and ESG in line with what we say here in the ESG expectations. And there's of course the demand growth. We see currently 800 million without electricity today, and as of 2022, there was 977 billion power sector investment, mostly in renewable energy, I have to add. So this demand growth is a true opportunity for us to focus on leveraging technologies in the green technologies to enable decarbonization. I think the last one that I'd like to talk about is really abatement. So the existing assets that have been developed for electrification, they may or may not be the most carbon efficient ways to generate electricity. Efficiency is really a key element that they would look at in order to ensure that the reliability element of the energy trilemma continues to be honored. So investment in efficiency projects, how to reduce the utilization of fuel to generate the same amount of electricity. I think that is in a broad concept that is being pursued. I think, as I mentioned earlier, widespread hydrogen adoption and profitability. But hydrogen, as you know, economy, as a commodity, is currently evolving. There are the technologies there. However, commercially, for it to be viable is still a journey. So profitability timing is still uncertain. So it's very difficult for our customers and the ecosystem to forecast when these projects will do it. So these projects are really done right now at a research stage and in collaboration with governments. And the way I see it is it's going to go through the same similar journey as renewables did 10, 15 years ago. When I saw it in Europe, whereby the governments put policies in place and also attractive investments to enable the growth. And as we see, the cost of renewables is going down, and the business case, there are a lot more bankable projects globally. And finally, carbon capture, post and pre-carbon capture, pre-combustion carbon capture. This is a key technology that we see enabling the energy transition and a key opportunity for us to capitalize on moving forward. So our mission from a GE Digital, GE Vernova perspective, is to really decarbonize and at the same time electrify. So the world needs more electricity. We see 50% increase over the next two decades. As mentioned earlier, 800 million people lack the access. And the key thing is to decarbonize and at the same time electrify. So there are many draconian views whereby people say that, okay, we should just shut down all the coal and just focus on renewables. That, as utopian as that would seem, we take a more pragmatic view. Right? We have to take into account all the potential for development and keeping the lights on, as well as ensuring that people have fair opportunities to get access to electricity. So that is the mission, and that is a very challenging one, given the evolving space. So what are the pathways that we see leveraging technology towards decarbonization? So in terms of the near term, whereby the technologies have been are there and more mature, as I mentioned earlier, I think the renewables is consistently reducing. So removing the need for any subsidies or any support, and also given the emergence of transitional financing for green projects, it's also supported to reduce the cost of capital for all of the renewable projects. Dispatchable clean energy is another element that we see in the near term, whereby they move in towards more flexible gas generation, which allows you to dispatch energy as soon as the renewables do not meet the demand. And I think finally is the gas turbine efficiency we see is really one-third the emissions of coal. So there's a lot of coal to gas conversion going on and being explored. So this is a viable, economically viable opportunity in terms of ensuring that the business case for that coal plant comes, and at the same time ensuring that the supply and meets the demand. In the midterm, we see it moving more towards hybrids, as well as even more dispatchable in the short term, up to less than 4 hours. And this would be a nation of solar as well as storage technology. I mean, currently storage technology is constantly evolving. However, in terms of having a large storage capacity, that is still in development in order to make it commercially viable globally. And I think the incorporation of safer fuels and retrofits dedicated to hydrogen, I think that was what we see in the midterm of how things will evolve. And in the longer term is where we really believe we will really be closer to the whole concept of being truly net zero in the energy value chain. Is by having a lot more flexibility to combine all of these emerging technologies to enable decarbonization and completely move away from heavy polluting energy sources such as coal. I think one more element that would probably be more pertinent to begin with is really how digitalization and software can be leveraged to advance as a technology. So one of the key challenges that customers and we all face in all our companies is we have our data of our emissions. What is our baseline of our current emissions? And how do we build a roadmap towards investment, towards decarbonization, and prioritize it? So what GE Vernova enables our customers with the power of our digital solutions is help them to automate their data collection into a centralized historian source, both the scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3. And when we say auto the collection, it's not the means of emissions factors, but rather looking at their data from their historians and leveraging artificial intelligence in order to calculate those emissions. So those we have seen are a lot more accurate in terms of what as compared to emissions factor estimates. And what that helps is the automation is really to improve the efficiency and also the auditability of those reports as the stand evolve. I think the key thing that we see our client base missing is really how they build the strategy for emissions. So once they've established the baseline, they then can prioritize their projects in our system to see what are the key projects that will give them the maximum bang for their buck when it comes to decarbonization. And as they invest in a project, they can then refresh and revamp their energy, their decarbonization roadmap, and also investment strategy. And once they have all of that in place, this gives a platform for a credible, brings a platform of credibility to all of their carbon reduction projects, and they can link it to their carbon market trading platforms, their carbon emissions, and how they certify it in the event that, I mean, the voluntary markets become, as the voluntary markets evolve. So this is how we see software playing a part in helping the energy value chain in their decarbonizing journey. We are currently only in the first steps in the collection and reporting, but we expect this to mature fairly quickly in the next years. Finally, on the back of that, carbon capture is a key element of how we see the energy value, energy supply chain reducing and decarbonizing. And we work very closely with our partners, our customers, to enable them through provision of GE Vernova technology and also working together with partners. So in summary here, no one company can decarbonize the entire value chain. It's a requirement for us to be partners. And GE Vernova is well and truly aware of that, and we work together with top-of-the-line technology providers in order to enable the decarbonization roadmap. So I think my final slide here is really what's next. What do we see? I think we really need to have an environment of policies that secure energy investments, establish market structures that value energy flexibility, dependable capacity separately, measure and incentivize reductions in power, ensure transparency and predictability of the life cycle of economics, reward R&D. I think that's really a very key element from a technology perspective, and set realistic timelines for reduction efforts, periodic reviews. So we, in summary, both technology and commodities are intertwined in our decarbonization journey. And I think we look forward to working together and bringing energy to change the world. Thank you very much, and I open the floor to questions.